Sovereign God, we do give you thanks that you are a good God. And as we worship you, the God of hope, we know that you bless our souls as we exalt you and make you the King of our hearts. Thank you, God, for your goodness expressed to us in so many various facets and ways. We thank you, God, that you are faithful. And on this day, we come to celebrate your goodness, to be filled, God, even more with your Spirit, to be lavished by your love, and to simply worship you because you are deserving of our worship. We pray, Father, that you will speak to our hearts by the power of your Spirit through your written and living word, that we may be encouraged, and that, God, we may give to you our best worship, lives fully surrendered to you, because you have redeemed us with a precious, precious price, the priceless blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you now. In his name, amen. On this Sunday, it is the first Sunday of the Advent season. And as part of the Christian tradition, Advent is normally observed on the four Sundays prior to December 25th, or Christmas Day. Each week during the Advent observances, there is a focus on the virtues of hope, love, joy, or peace. And today I will be focusing on hope. Hope is that forward-looking word that speaks of a time when expectations will be met. The expectations of something good happening. Hope is that word that demands a certain type of attitude is to be maintained while one waits for the good thing to come. I love the Christmas season because the Christmas season is that reminder that when our hope is placed in the living God, there is no circumstance, situation, or condition that becomes too difficult for God to fulfill his promise. There is no person, group, or system that can prevent or stop God from fulfilling his word. It is the reminder that God made a promise, and that no matter how much time had elapsed or how much time does elapse, God always fulfills his promise. I always love pointing you back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. After the fall of Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God by eating from the tree in which he told them not to eat from, and allowed sin to enter into humanity and gave dominion of this world over into the hands of Satan. That when God began to speak, he said to the serpent in Genesis 3:15, he said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." That was God saying to the devil, "You may have caused them to stumble and fall, and not receive the best that I had intended for them. But that's okay, because you will not have the last word. Because of what you have done, I have a seed that will come that will crush you and stop you and will give life to those who put their hope and their trust in me. In Galatians chapter 4, bear with me, we're going to visit some scriptures today as we talk about hope. It says in Galatians chapter 4 that when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons and daughters. And then he goes on to say, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, and that is the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, an intimate expression that God made available to his people, that when the time had fully come, God sent his son to be born of a woman. You and I know, and we need to continue to tell the story and repeat the truth about what the Christmas season is all about. Especially in a time when people are needing hope. They need to know that hope is alive, and hope is alive in the person of Jesus Christ. They need to know that no matter what is going on around you and me, that we have a hope in God that cannot stop and that will not be defeated. That at the right time, when the time had fully come, God fulfilled his promise. In Matthew chapter 1, we are given an outline. We are given an instance. We're given the event of when that time was fulfilled, when Jesus Christ entered into the likes of humanity. And I want to go there and read for our hearing that scripture in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through verses 25. Because they speak to the hope that we have. The gospel writer Matthew says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Again, we're talking about and focusing on hope today. And I want to think about hope as holding on to His promises expectantly. Hope is holding on to God's promises expectantly. I said earlier that when you and I make the living God our hope, that there is no circumstance, situation, or condition that becomes too difficult for God to fulfill His promise. I love the way that is played out in the Christmas story, because if you recall, it all began when an angel of the Lord paid a visit to a man by the name of Zacharias. He and his wife Elizabeth were barren and could not have children. But Zechariah was a priest and he was serving before the Lord, and it was on this particular occasion that he was called upon to go and offer up prayers for the nation, as they were a people who were still obeying God's instructions and they were still waiting and looking for the promised ruler, the promised Messiah to come. They demonstrated their hope by continuing to worship God and carry out His instructions to them. If you're familiar with the story, you know that while Zechariah was in the temple praying, all the other folks were on the outside. Zechariah, there was an angel who appeared before him on the right side of the altar of incense and said, "I am Gabriel, and I've come to give you some good news. I've come to tell you and give you this message that God sent me to give you." Zechariah was gripped with fear, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid, because your prayer has been heard, and both your wife will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." The angel came to deliver a message to Zechariah, to help him to understand that no matter what the conditions are, no matter what situation you're facing, that nothing is too difficult for God to fulfill His promise. It's as though the angel did not take time to say to him, "Yes, I know that your wife Elizabeth has not been able to bear a child, but now that God has spoken, it's going to happen." And when God speaks, there is no one who can unspeak what God has spoken. When Zechariah had exited out of the temple, he came out, and as you know, he was unable to talk because he chose to question the angel. But when he went home, after his time of service was completed, it says that his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. Then she said, "The Lord has done this for me. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Elizabeth and Zechariah had been hoping and waiting for a child, but had not been able to do so. But somehow they managed to maintain the hope that God is faithful. And they continued to pray and to cry out and to call out to him. And God showed up in the middle of what seemed to be a circumstance or a time that had moved beyond theirs. And he showed up and allowed them to experience what God had planned, what he had planned. He showed up so that to let them know that their waiting would not be in vain. He you know the old saying, he may not come when we want him, but he's always on time. That's what hope is like, maintaining that attitude while you're waiting on God. You're saying that he may not come when I want him. He may not have showed up when I wanted him to, but I know that God is always on time. And because God is always on time, and because I can trust him, I'm just going to keep the right attitude. I'm going to keep waiting and trusting in him. Zechariah and Elizabeth's experience was just the first visit that the angel Gabriel would have in that particular community, because 6 months later he had to come back and give a message to a young lady by the name of Mary. This was the young lady that was pledged to be married to Joseph. The angel Gabriel showed up to her and he said to her, "Greetings to you who are highly favored, for the Lord is with you." Mary, when she heard this, was greatly troubled and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and you will have a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." I tell you that when you make your hope, when you place your hope in the living God, that there are no circumstances, situations, or conditions that become too difficult for God to fulfill his promise. And so it was with Mary, because she wanted to know, "I've never been with a man. How is it that I'm going to have a child? How can this be?" And the angel said, "Listen, the Holy Spirit is going to come up on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you." Oh, brothers and sisters, I hope your hearts are dancing. I hope your spirits are turning flips right now, because when the power of the Holy Ghost comes up on you, he enables you to do what you could not do in your natural strength. He comes and makes alive that which was dead. He comes and he sets on fire, and he gives life to that where life did not exist before. That same spirit that impregnated Mary lives in you and me. And I'm excited to see what he did for Mary, and to know that that same power is available for you and me. That's why you and I can have hope. That's why we can hold on to his promises expectantly. The angel said, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is now in her sixth month." And this is what I want you to hear, because in verse 37 of Luke chapter 1, the angel said to Mary, "For nothing is impossible with God." Oh, you need to go ahead and repeat that. You need to say that so that it can settle up on you. You need to know that nothing is impossible with God. No matter what you're facing, no matter the difficulty, no matter the challenge, you need to be reminded that there is nothing impossible with God. That's why we can have hope. That's why when we look at him, that's why when we put our trust in him, that is not an empty trust, that it is a hope that lives and that has life, because he is the living God. He's the living God. You need to know that there is no person, group, or system that can prevent or stop God from fulfilling his word. You know that scripture recorded in Isaiah, how God watches over his word to perform it, to fulfill it. God watches his word. That's why you and I have been given birth into a living hope. Our hope is not dead. Our hope is alive, because the one in which we hope in, he is alive. Many of you will recall that the Reverend Jesse Jackson made famous the popular expression, "Keep hope alive." He's used that phrase in many political speeches to rally folks to move in a particular direction, to select a particular person on their platform. Used it for his own run in the political arena, with the idea that the right person can keep hope alive. But my brothers and sisters, I just want to remind you that the reason our hope is alive is not because we are hoping in mere mortal men. That our hope is not alive because of a person who has been placed in a position of power, or who has received political prominence, or because of someone who has been selected by the people. No, our hope is placed in a God who is not subservient to people, who is not subservient to systems, who does not answer to anyone, because he is the sovereign God, and he is the one who sets up the seasons and the times, and he is the one that brings things about, and he is the one that makes sure that what he has promised will be fulfilled. No, my hope is alive because of the living God, and my hope is placed upon the one in which he sent to be a blessing to all of mankind, and that is the person Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Old Testament prophet Simeon said when he saw Jesus Christ after he had been born. It says that Simeon, who was a righteous and devout man, he had been waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so Simeon, moved by the Spirit, went into the temple courts. And when the parents, that's Mary and Joseph, brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Simeon said, "God, you've kept your promise, and there was nothing that got in the way of you fulfilling your word. And now I can lay down in peace, because I have seen your salvation. The one that you promised has come, and my eyes have looked up on him. And now he who is a light for revelation to the Gentiles, he will bless them all." Simeon was saying, in short, that listen, where you need to have your hope is upon the living God, and specifically upon his son, Jesus Christ. I love the words of the songwriter, the one who wrote the Solid Rock The words may be familiar to you. It says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." Brothers and sisters, I just want to say to you, as we move into the Advent season, as we move into a season that will without doubt be dominated by commercialism and all the other things that are vying for our attention, your job, my job, becomes to fix our eyes upon the one who gives us hope. And because our hope is alive, because our hope is living, that means that we can have hope even in times of despair. Because our hope is alive, because our hope is living, that means that we don't make judgments or decisions based upon what we see nor the reports that we hear. No, we put our hope in the power of the Anointed One. We put our hope in the living God, the one who is able to defy whatever nature presents, and he is able to do what he needs to do to fulfill his words for me and for you. The Old Testament father of faith, Father Abraham, as it is recorded in Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 21, says, "Abraham, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be." Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Don't you like that? He didn't deny the reality of what was before him. Oh, but that didn't stop him. Since he was about 100 years old, his body was as good as dead. And that Sarah's womb was also dead. But what does that have to do with the power of the God who makes the promise? Yet, it says, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Oh, I'm telling you, the Christmas season ought to usher into your hearts, into your minds, into your spirit, just this attitude of hope. No matter what has been pressing up against you, and no matter how long it has been pressing up against you, the spirit of Christmas, the season of Christmas ought to remind you that you serve an unstoppable God, and that there is nothing that can get in the way nor prevent him from fulfilling his promises in your life. You ought to be rehearsing and reciting the promises of God, because when you do that, it builds up your strength and it builds up your confidence. You ought to be like the psalmist in Psalm 71 verses 5 and 6. He says, "For you are my hope, Lord God, my confidence from my youth." Or like what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 33 verses 18 through 20, he said, "Now my eye is on the Lord." Then it says, "Now the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, and those who depend on his faithful love to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. We wait, we hope for Jehovah, for Yahweh, for he is our help and our shield. For our hearts rejoice in him because we trust in his holy name. May your faithful love, O God, rest on us, for we put our hope in you. Yes, your hope should be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Oh, you need to be like the psalmist that says to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, and in you I trust. O my God, do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. And then in confidence, the psalmist said, no one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Yes, Jesus Christ has been given to us as a Savior to deliver us from sin. He has been given to us, and he is a living hope who does not lose his power, but reminds us that God fulfills his promises and he keeps his promises. Oh, at the first coming of Jesus, they were looking for a Messiah, one who would be political in nature, to set them free from the rule of the Roman government that had come to power. And I have to tell you that they appear to have not been much different than what we are as we wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ, thinking that the work that God is doing is political in nature, and not realizing that no, he has not come to be on either side of the political spectrum. He has come to rule. He has come to become the king of your heart. And he has come to become ruler of all mankind. That you and I need to be reminded that our allegiance is to be in him, that our hope is to be placed upon him, because in him and him alone do we have hope. He is the only one that we can hold on to his promises with expectancy. Everyone else will fail you. Listen, do not put your trust in mankind. Do not put your trust in systems, because those systems will fall apart. The Bible says that if you put your trust in man, the promises that he has made will die with him. But if you put your trust in the living God, the promises that he has made will continue, for God will not die. He is the eternal God who lives forever. I love what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5. Very familiar passage of scripture to us. It says that we have been declared righteous by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have obtained access through him by faith into his grace, in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, so this is where hope helps you to overcome despair, but we also rejoice in our afflictions. Hope does not mean that I'm not going to see challenging times. Hope does not mean that I'm not going to see difficulties. Hope does not mean that there's not going to be an enemy pressing up against me to keep me from receiving the promises of God. What hope says that even in the face of that, I'm still going to trust him and hold on to his promises. He says that we know that affliction produces endurance, and endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. And here is my verse: hope that will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. As we move through this Christmas season, you become a beacon of hope by pointing folks to the source of hope. Don't allow yourself to be weighed down, cast down, or overcome by what your eyes see and by the reports that your ears hear. Remember what was recorded in Jeremiah 29, where God said to his folks in a time of despair when they were still in captivity, he said to them, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Yeah, you keep your eyes fixed on him who is able to deliver. Because with him, nothing is too difficult. Nothing is too hard. I want to encourage you this week, take a few moments and go back and read that story about dry bones that's recorded in Ezekiel 37. Read about it, because in that story, it reveals again the power of God. And he talks about that even though those bones were dry, even though those bones were separated, even though those bones were scattered, and it seemed like those bones could not have life again, that when the prophet was told to prophesy, to speak the word of God, and when God sent his spirit to move upon his word, that those bones that were dry and scattered and brittle began to receive life, and they began to come together, and that which seemed to have no hope showed that hope is still alive because you trusted in the Lord your God. Brothers and sisters, I'm just wanting to remind you that Christmas reminds us that Jesus Christ came that we might have hope, that we might have life, and that we might have it abundantly. Jesus is the fulfillment of every promise of God. He is the yes and the amen. And he is the one to whom we can place our hope and stand with firm assurances. We can hold on to his promises, expecting him to deliver a good thing. We can know without doubt that he is able to do the impossible. Because the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is alive and is at work in you and me. And God is moving to work on his behalf, causing all things to work together for those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes, for his good name. Yes, brothers and sisters, you and I, we have this hope. And this hope serves as an anchor for our souls. That even though there is a shaking that's going on, even though there's a strong wind that is blowing and moving and tossing things that are not held down to and fro, you and I have this hope as an anchor for the soul. That even though the enemy may press in against you and may attempt you to doubt God and may tell you that thing that you were hoping for, that thing that you were waiting for, it is too late. No, we have this truth that it is impossible for God to lie. And because it is impossible for God to lie, we put our hope in him, and it becomes an anchor for our souls, firm and secure. And it holds us that even though there is a tossing that is going back and forth, you and I are not tossed, but we are stable. You and I are held firmly secure in the promises of the one who is able to keep his word. Glory to God. Hold on to his promises expectantly, because your hope is a living hope. He is alive. God of hope, we simply pray now that you would fill us with all joy and peace as we believe in you, so that we may overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.